Help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/radio and use code radio for 20% radio, and use code radio at checkout.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The White House calls it a great deal. The prisoner swap that saw Russia's release Tuesday of American school teacher Mark Vogel in exchange for Russian crypto criminal Alexander Vinnik. And today, the White House says one American and others detained in Belarus have been released. ABC's Patrick Reeval in London.
Belarus, which is closely allied with Vladimir Putin, has also agreed to release these people, likely to try and persuade the Americans to release someone like Vinnik, who is a cyber criminal and who is believed to have ties to Russian intelligence.
President Trump has confirmed on social media that he had a conversation today with Russian President Vladimir Putin about an end to the war in Ukraine. Ukraine's President Zelensky says he also talked to Trump today. Tulsi Gabbard is the nation's director of national intelligence after the Senate confirmed her nomination 52-48. And a Senate vote on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to head the Department of Health and Human Services is set for tomorrow. This is ABC News. Hundreds of thousands of Virginia customers don't have power today after heavy snow and freezing rain. Heavy rain's expected today in the central Appalachians and some mid-Atlantic states. And California's bracing for a storm that could flood burn areas left by those recent devastating wildfires. With Valentine's Day Friday, a new warning about fraudsters.
Officials are reminding Americans, especially seniors, not to fall for romance scams, with criminals using a fake identity to gain your affection and trust before stealing from you. This month, the FBI Philadelphia field office and the U.S. Postal Service issued warnings for people not to be duped.
I'm out all that money and I don't think I'll ever get it back.
This 76-year-old moved to Georgia and was tricked into sending her life savings to a man she met online.
ABC's Lionel Moyes. And raise a paw for Monty the Giant Schnauzer, winner of Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show Tuesday night. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs.
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/price match for details.
Lowe's knows that free is just better. That's why MyLowe's Rewards is free to join. As a member, you earn points towards MyLowe's money on eligible purchases, get exclusive free gifts, and earn free shipping at Silver Key status, all on top of weekly member-only deals. Don't wait. Join MyLowe's Rewards for free today and start saving more. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. Proposed changes to grant funding by the National Institutes for Health could have serious consequences for the universities of Wisconsin.
A federal judge on Monday blocked the NIH's announced 15% cap on indirect costs for all new and current grants in a Monday Newsmakers interview with Wisconsin Eye. UW System President Jay Rothman talked about what those grants support.
Just at Madison alone, cancer research for Alzheimer's disease, research in diabetes.
NIH funding is the largest source of federal support for UW-Madison and a significant source of federal support for UW-Milwaukee. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Life in prison with the possibility of parole in 50 years for a Janesville man who pled guilty in November to fatally shooting his pregnant ex-girlfriend. 23-year-old Logan Barkley spoke during his Tuesday sentencing in Rock County Court.
I'd like to apologize to the family and to all the other people affected by my actions. I'm sorry.
22-year-old Kirsten Hansen was shot in the stomach and left for dead last April along the Peace Trail in Janesville. She was the mother of a child with Barkley, which his parents have custody of. Wausau's Ethics Board will consider a citizen complaint against Mayor Doug Denny.
The board will consider whether the complaint alleges facts sufficient to constitute a violation of Wausau's Municipal Code of Ethics next Wednesday, February 19th. The complaint centers on Denny's handling of a locked but not yet secured municipal drop box that was left outside City Hall over a weekend. Denny says he brought the box to his office for safekeeping, though opponents of the move say he may have violated election law. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Light snow this afternoon brings around an inch of accumulations. As it continues into tonight, another inch is possible. Then, the winds turn feisty and we crash cold. We'll be battling a wind chill early tomorrow morning throughout the afternoon. Breezy winds blowing and redirecting some of that fresh snow around. Need a new bathroom? Call BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 5 degrees.
Corn muscles its way back higher on Wednesday as funds extend their huge net long position while soybeans and wheat plunge. Cattle try to consolidate, but can they hold support? While hogs made new highs, what's driving it? We'll find out today on AgriTalk.
Live from the ongoing scramble simply to survive via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Craig Turner from StoneX. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, please welcome Michelle Rook.
Hey, thanks, Davis. I thought maybe you were sick of me.
No, I was, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I really thought maybe you'd be sick of me by now. It's Wednesday. You've been with me for, this will be the third day. And that usually is kind of the tipping point for most people. So,
well, and you and I both were expecting a little bit lighter AgriTalk-related duties today. Unfortunately, there are those yeah. among us who continue to ride the struggle bus, quite literally, back and forth from events.
Yeah, so that's right. Weather this time of year, it's unpredictable, yeah. and so... Like well, I said, so you're stuck with me.
You expected to be doing something else right now when you got up this morning. You answered the call. We really appreciate it. We really
no
do.
No problem.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm happy to help. Interesting day today. Corn was back to the plus side all by itself. Well, man, it was a tough down day in the soybean market. So Craig can help explain a little bit about that. Craig Turner is going to be joining us here with StoneX. He's a grain and oilseed analyst with the firm. And so we have a whole laundry list of really good things to talk about or interesting things to talk about with Craig coming up.
Well, for sure. I'm 19 degrees here and it's still spitting some flakes, Michelle. I think the phone said we got 5 inches. It looks like a pretty light 5 inches to me here in Kansas City. How have you fared as of late with the snow?
We have a few inches of snow on the ground finally here, but it's really not the snow that's been the problem. We were like minus almost 20 degrees below zero yesterday morning and the same this morning. So we are in
terrible.
The deep freeze. So the only people that like this are the ice fishermen that are out on the lake today, I think.
I don't know. I don't know if it's even worth it for that. 20 below, hey, that's awfully, awfully cold.
Have you seen the get-ups these guys have for ice fishing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these look better than my first apartment. So
it's like a mobile living room. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Yep. A mobile man cave is what it is.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I got a little bit of news here we could discuss if you're interested.
Pick us off here.
Sure thing. Well, wheat futures started the session mildly firmer in a modest corrective rebound, though a stronger U.S. dollar limited buying. As of February 12, Ukraine's 24-25 grain exports totaled 26.99 million metric tons. That's 5.8% ahead of the same period last year. Exports included 11.3 million metric tons of wheat. That's up from 9.97 last year. March SRW futures here at home were consolidating above the 10 and 100-day moving averages of 573.5 and briefly dipped below that key level before recovering just slightly into the close. March HRW wheat futures softened 1¼ cents to 591.5. March SRW fell 2¾ cents to 574.25. March spring wheat futures closed at 614¾, down 3½ cents, bounced off some dangerous support levels there. Michelle?
Yeah, that's good that we held. It was kind of a roller coaster, though. Wheat tried to follow corn initially, and then when soybeans started seeing double-digit losses, then the wheat market just gave it up.
Yeah. Well, corn futures rebounded from yesterday's losses on support from decent demand news. Weekly ethanol production averaged 1.082 million barrels per day during the weekend of February 7. That's down 2.7% or 30,000 barrels per day from the previous week and 1,000 barrels per day below the same week last year. On the stock side, ethanol stocks dropped 720,000 barrels to 25.692 million barrels. Additionally, USDA reported daily corn sales of 130,000 metric tons to unknown destinations for the 24-25 marketing year. March corn futures 6¼ cents higher at 490¼. May corn up 6 cents to 504. July corn futures closed at 507¼. That's up 6 cents on the day, Michelle.
Yeah, $5 still eludes us in the March contract. I felt like today, though, was a lot about the funds coming back in here and defending their long, but we'll see what the what our experts think coming up.
Yeah. Well, soybean futures followed through on Tuesday's weakness as South American weather conditions have improved. USDA reported daily soybean sales of 120,000 metric tons to unknown destinations for 24-25. India's palm oil imports in January fell to their lowest in nearly 14 years as refiners turned to cheaper soy oil, driven by negative refining margins for palm oil. Meanwhile, an Argentine prosecutor's office said it found irregularities in a planned auction to provide maintenance to the Paraguay and Paraná River. That's a key route for South American grains transport. Here at home, March soybeans closed just a few cents above support at the 140-day moving averages, each trading around 10.23¼. March beans were 15¾ cents lower at 10.27¾. May beans fell 14½ cents to 10.45¾. July beans closed at 10.62. That's down 14 cents today.
Yeah, you mentioned South American weather. There have been some improvements in Argentina. They've gotten some rain there, but maybe this is a little harvest pressure starting too.
Well, March cotton was all of 2 points higher today at 67.42. On your livestock's April fat cattle, down 27½ cents to 195.72½. March feeders were up 20 cents to 264.97½, and April lean hog futures up $1.35 to 94.32½. Over to you, Michelle.
Well, thanks so much. Well, joining us with Price Action Perspective today, Todd Bubba Horowitz with BubbaTrading.com. Welcome back, Bubba. And what do you think here? Corn and soybeans going in opposite directions. So what was the action like today? What was driving
it? What's up, Michelle? Listen, it's the action is great. They've broken out to the upside, and this down movement is actually very healthy for the market. It should attract some more new money buyers. So I'm very excited about what the grains look like going forward. They have all three have broken out now, finally, and I would like to see. I like the little sell-offs that come in because all it does is bring in new money and looks to push them higher. and cattle still looks pretty weak, and hogs still look pretty strong.
Yeah, they do. Do you think we're going to see more fund money come piling in? Is this inflationary buying, or why are the funds in love with the commodity sector?
Well, I think it is the inflation trade, and you can see by gold, the way gold's been going up, it's, there. You know, again, the interest rate market is killing inflation, the Federal Reserve has killed inflation, and although the banks are making a fortune, the regular person is borrowing money, is paying more for money now than they were before the rate cut.
Yeah, and CPI data this morning is certainly not going to lead to any interest rate cuts anytime soon, is it?
Well, it doesn't really matter, because the problem is that the federal funds are for the banks to borrow. It has nothing to do with you and me. So you and me don't get the benefit of the rate cut, right? The 10-year notes were 3.5% when they started the rate cut cycle. The 10-year notes are now 4.7%, and we haven't gotten any break. So that's going to continue to rise. It can keep inflation hot and high and running.
Yeah, I know that's confusing to a lot of people. That's a head-scratcher, those 10-year treasuries being as high as they are. All right, thanks so much. Todd Bubba Horowitz joining us with BubbaTrading.com. When we come back, Craig Turner with StoneX is going to be joining us. We'll be back next year on AgriTalk.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Why do home sellers need the Prime Realty Advantage? I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty of Durand. Here's a big one. When you list your home with Prime Realty, we place your home on two multiple listing services, and that gets your home seen by thousands of potential buyers. Plus, our agents at Prime Realty are more than just a salesperson. We act on your behalf, providing advice, guidance, and the experience to sell your home. If you're thinking of selling your home, don't do it alone. Find out how Prime Realty of Durand can sell your home today. Visit us online at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Ed, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. This afternoon, joining us, Craig Turner, grain and oilseed analyst with StoneX. And Craig, good to have you along for the ride today. Let's start off talking about the corn market. We did end higher today. Yesterday, though, we were lower. The corn bulls didn't really get fed what they wanted in the WASD with lower ending stocks. But talk about what you saw in the WASD as far as what it means like going forward here, especially the drawdown in global stocks.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, they always say the WASD takes 2 days to trade. And, you know, the first day is the headline number, and everyone was looking for that cut into the ending stocks in U.S. corn, and we didn't get it. But if you, you know, if you keep on looking at that report, global stocks did come down 3 million metric tons. The USDA didn't want to get aggressive on, you know, exports to the United States or even increasing that export, the ethanol number a little bit. But I still think they will. So when we had day two, you revisit that report, they did bring down the global stocks. There is this expectation that we will see better demand numbers out of the United States. So I'm not surprised we rebounded today and did so pretty strongly towards the end there. I think that going forward, there's not a whole lot of room for error in the corn market, right? We've got a 15% good to excellent in Argentina. You know, what is that going to mean for yield? I mean, over the next 2-3 weeks, we're going to be hearing about all these yields in Argentina. It'll be very interesting to hear. We got all second crop ready to go for Brazil. I mean, we're just getting in the beginning there. I mean, we're going to be keeping an eye. Markets can be keeping an eye on the Brazil second crop corn for the next 2 months, and it's going to be a story if they have any hiccups. And we are going to need a lot of acres in the U.S. here. So there's no room for error heading into the corn market, or at least into U.S. planting. And in theory, that should keep corn at least supportive at these levels.
So how tight are global corn stocks from a historical basis? When's the last time we've been this tight?
Yeah, actually, if you look back at it, we were just as tight as we were back in, like, you know, in terms of a stock to usage percentage, we've been just as tight as we've been, you know, in the past 15 years. So I don't think that – what's interesting is that the United States has some exportable corn left over. But if we keep on eating into that, maybe by 100 or 200 million bushels, we are going to be very tight. And because we're at this 10% stock to usage, it really is the line of do we need to aggressively price ration exports or not. So you see the funds getting so long, and everyone asks, well – how much longer can the funds get? But right. If you look in the past where the funds have gotten this long, this early, based on a stock to usage, you know, issue or perceived potential for stock to usage issue, it, you know, corn can run another dollar or so higher if given in the right conditions. So, and we actually kind of, if you look at charts back from 2021, when we had the Ukraine issues after China was coming back and buying a lot of corn, funds got long heavily, like 200,000-300,000 contracts, you know, before we really broke out above $5. So, basically the funds get long, and if there really is an issue, the cash market takes it higher, and if not, you know, we come back down and harvest. But I think that's what the funds are positioning for.
So, do you think, Craig, that the funds came back in and bought here today, kind of based off the fact that the CPI number showed inflation is a little bit hotter than expected?
I think that's number two, right? The global numbers weren't that bad, and we're actually kind of supportive. And that CPI number of 0.5, was it month over month, and now we're at 3% for the year, is not good. Considering that the Fed actually was lowering rates in the, what, end of summer or really into fall. And, you know, the Fed, if anything, the Federal Reserve, they really are students of the past. I mean, they're academics. They know what happens if you cut rates too fast. You do have this risk of inflation spiking back up. That's actually what happened in the 70s and why the United States and Volcker had to get so aggressive there in the early part of the 80s and the aftermath of that. So, you know, the funds know that. The big money knows that. They were definitely buying today. And now the Fed has to say, we're not going to cut rates, and at the very least, you know, we're going to have a little bit more of a hawkish tone to things. And I mean, honestly, if the telltale sign for me is to see that the Fed funds rate, which is the rate that the Fed loans to commercial, the overnight rate that they loan to commercial banks, is either down or neutral. And meanwhile, you'll see something. I heard you guys talking before the break. Treasuries you know, basically rates going up. And the huge difference about that, which people, you know, if I would just say if you have one takeaway is, you know, the Fed funds rate is something that the government or the Federal Reserve is trying to control. But what the treasuries are doing or corporate bonds are doing, that's the market. And what the market is saying, like, we don't care that the Fed funds is trying to lower interest rates. We see real risk in either inflation or in the economy or something short term, maybe even systemic. And we're going to demand a higher interest rate to buy your debt because we don't like what's going on right now in the economy as a whole, whether that could be runaway debt, whether that could be inflation, whatever it may be. That's what the market's telling here. And it's definitely something for the Fed to take notice of right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And really, when we started getting the first cuts from the Fed back in 2024, the 10-year Treasury started going that direction. They started to appreciate even back then, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the debt is unsustainable, right? We need to, you know, things need to change here in the United States. There has been talk at these high-level meetings within the Fed of, you know, unsustainable levels of spending, right? And we, you know, if things go on this way, you know, what usually happens if you have a country that basically has too much debt and can't pay it back, the interest rates have to keep on going up. So in order for people to invest their money or buy that debt and then expect a return. So it's been going on for a while. I was actually, honestly, I was kind of surprised when the Fed was cutting rates earlier this year. I know Arlen Suderman, who's our chief economist, you know, has said the same thing on these shows too and in the presentations I've been at. And yeah, so now, and we're seeing the market basically saying, you know, we need spending cuts. And, you know, we're actually, you know, seeing that right now in Washington.
Yeah. Arlen's been an inflation hawk for a while here. So that's something I've talked to him at great length about. Is corn the only market that you think that the funds will continue to buy in as a hedge against inflation? Because they've started to move a little bit long in the soybean market, but they're still rather short in the wheat market.
Yeah, so you know, I think what you want, if you're a fund, you want to be in a commodity that's not just an inflationary benefit, but also has a supply and demand, like a fundamental benefit, bullishness, if possible. So when I look at soybeans, like, yeah, we can appreciate, but having 15 million metric tons of soybeans coming from South America more this year than they did last year is hard to get excited about, especially when you're hearing about Brazil. I mean, there were rumors of Brazil buying cargoes out of Argentina just to see if, you know, Brazil can start building their reserves out of Argentina and not have to do it, you know, through the U.S. So that it's hard to pour the money into soybeans if, you know, all that is still going on, you know, between the United States and China. Wheat has an interesting story, but it's what we call here as a show me market. Like, you can, we're supposed to have tighter stocks on the global export market, but until that demand comes in and comes to the United States, which is really the world's residual supplier of grain and oil seeds, especially wheat, it's hard for the market to rally. So I think if you're going to see that inflation trade, gold, you know, which would be gold or silver, which would probably be much more be favorable. You know, what's interesting too, you'll see it in crypto. You know, back in 2008, when we had the whole big subprime crisis, you know, the only game in town really was gold and silver. You know, 15 years later, crypto exists, which it really didn't in the way it did back then. So you do see, in terms of money flow, you do see more money flow coming into the crypto space too. You know, if this type of situation, you know, today had happened 15 years ago, you probably would see gold and silver higher, but crypto does steal a little bit of its thunder here on the money flow side.
That continues to support the U.S. dollar index, though, too, doesn't it?
It certainly does. You know, the dollar index, you know, with currencies, it's all about who you're compared to, right? So the dollar index, half of it's priced against the euro. It's priced against the yen, the Canadian dollar, the Aussie dollar. And right now, Europe, their growth rate is going down. The United States growth rate is going higher. The United States has a stronger economy overall, GDP. Europe does not. So in terms of a relative, purely just on a relative aspect, the United States really is kind of the best in show. With all its flaws, it's going to be wanted by the investment community as a safe haven.
Interesting. We don't have enough time to get into this before we have to go to break here, but I do want to talk a little bit about when you get back about what it's going to take to get this corn market to move past five, maybe even up to the 550 level. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. Craig Turner is joining us here, oil seed and grain analyst from StoneX. When we come back, we're going to talk about that and as well what's going on with the soybean market. What caused the big plunge there today? More AgriTalk coming up after the break.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Let's go to the market page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures softened 1¼ cents to 591½. March soft red winter wheat fell 2¾ cents to 574¼. March corn futures were 6¼ cents higher at 490¼. July corn futures closed at 507¼. That's up 6 cents on the day. March soybean futures were 15¾ cents lower today, 10.27¾. May beans fell 14½ cents to 10.45¾. March cotton was 2 points higher, 67.42. On your livestock's April fats, down 27½ to 195.72½. March feeders up 20 cents to 264.97½. And April lean hogs up $1.35 to 94.32½. Get more. Try profarmer.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of ANSAY & Associates.
At Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Light snow this afternoon brings around an inch of accumulations. As it continues into tonight, another inch is possible. Then, the winds turn feisty and we crash cold. We'll be battling a wind chill early tomorrow morning, throughout the afternoon, breezy winds blowing and redrifting some of that fresh snow around. Need a new bathroom? Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 5 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. Craig Turner with StoneX is joining us here today as our guest analyst. And we had a up day in the corn, but soybeans had a tough down day. We had some double-digit losses, Craig. And before we get into that, we were talking before the break a little bit about the corn market. Higher today, can't get above $5 or close above it in the March contract in corn. But what do you think it will take here? What could send the market to over five or even to 550 or higher?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And, you know, there's that relationship between corn and soybeans, the price relationship. And right now, new crop, I want to say beans are 2.2 over corn, and they're 2.1 times over corn in the old crop. So it makes it difficult. You know, for corn can get tight pretty fast. If we get to 550, right, you got to ask yourself, and then, you know, is soybeans going to be closer to 11, right? 550 times 2 is $11. And maybe it could be. But the thing is, like, if corn gets really bullish and we have issues with the second crop, but the first crop in Brazil looks very good, and we get a ton of soybeans, and we're hearing, you know, China now buying, testing out the cargoes in the soybean market down in Argentina. It can be difficult, right? Because it's hard to have corn be lower than a 2.0 price relationship to soybeans. So I think if we, you know, what we're kind of doing here on the trade desk and, you know, hedging and trying to market is if we do get some of these runs into, let's say, like the mid fives, you know, for us, the way we just see things, it's very difficult to make the argument right now beans should be over $11. So it's kind of creating its own target for us here. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but for the corn market to really rally above 550, you need some of the other commodities